Hey everybody, welcome to welcome to Thursday afternoon. We're just me and Hot Stuff here, and gonna do our annual tradition of a year in review.
Hot Stuff's drinking
a big glass of whiskey, despite the fact that it's 2 in the damn afternoon on a work day.
You know, I have given up any notion of knowing what time it is or what day it is, because I've been traveling in so many different time zones lately that it just doesn't mean anything.
You didn't really sleep either.
Not really much.
Look how quiet we are.
Huh. Are we weird? Yeah. I don't know if this is actually going to record very well.
A lot
well.
Of points of failure in this rig. A lot of different ways in which this can be fucked up.
You're going to bring all this to the great city of San Francisco?
I am.
When we take our annual pilgrimage out to that fine metropolis.
Yep. Well, I'm going to try to turn this up a little bit on this end and see if that makes any difference.
Okay.
Hey, did that make any difference?
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
The question is whether the visual representation means anything.
Yep.
Or if the sound is okay. I guess if you're gonna be doing some awesome dynamic compression, it's gonna be fine.
What we in the industry refer to as dyno comp.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was where you did a competition to see who could jump the highest from one set of handholds on a rock wall to a.
And see, I thought it was when you're a high roller in Vegas and they give you a free dinosaur. Two different funny things about dyno comp.
Yeah. Mine wasn't really funny so much as factual.
Right. Is that a thing, though? Do they ever have a competition just for dyno routes?
Yeah, actually, did you not see that at the
Is it a test of each individual climber's dyno might?
It was, actually. It's actually kind of cool because it's, you know, 15 different dyno routes. Or whatnot. They're not routes. They're just sort of base stations that you then jump from to try to get to another hold much further away. Which was
a lot
of fun to play.
Were they like the stations in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
No.
Okay. So we're going to do a year in review as 2010 draws to a close. Another decade. This being the fourth decade that you and I have existed in.
Yes.
That's kind of horrifying. Horrifying.
Yeah. Well, but we will soon be... Well, okay, do you count decades as starting from the zero or from the one?
Well, I think... That
because the 80s definitely started in the zeros.
It's 1980.
So this is our fifth decade, right?
Okay, I guess so. This is the 2010s. Yeah, but that means the decade is drawing to a close. Like I said, the 2000s are drawing to a close.
They drew to a close in 2009.
Oh, well, fuck. Yeah, never mind.
As we start this new decade with this, you know, initial year of this decade.
I also count decades as 11 years.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it makes it seem like we live slightly less.
Well, you
do
have 11 fingers, so it makes sense that you would use a base 11 numbering system.
so, yeah. Huh. Check it out. I'm looking at a Google Maps, and there's a dentist's office represented with a little icon of a tooth.
Huh.
I've never seen that before. Anyway, why don't I get rid of this Google Maps of my neighborhood? Now everybody knows where I live. I'm near a dentist. So I think the thing to look at is probably the KOL wiki.
You think?
Yeah, because what it has is announcements and trivial updates.
Something else sorted together.
Something that I intended to do and that I might do in between recording segments is it occurred to me that I could do some data aggregation from the trend tracker thing that we have, because that ran for an entire year. So then we can say, so far in 2010, X number of basements have been dug, and I think that might be interesting for the kids.
Sure.
We can look at it. We can see how many people killed the boss bat for the first time. Hint, it's probably about 8.
I am curious to see the basement statistics for December of this year, actually.
Yeah. No, it's been pretty crazy. We talked about that on the air a little bit at some point, maybe just not when you were around.
Yeah, I've been out.
Because you're never around.
I've been away.
We're going to be radioing the shit out of things in San Francisco,
That is
though.
True.
Every single time. It's going to be a you and me show, and maybe you and me and the guys we pick up at the docks or the park. Public park? That's where you go to get heroin, not blowjobs from dudes.
I think in San Francisco you can go anywhere.
Oh. Anywhere. You can go anywhere for gay sex, anywhere for weed.
Yes.
There are only particular places to go for heroin.
I guess, yeah.
Cool.
Well, it's much harder to get a medical heroin card.
Let's see. So the way to get to 2010's history on the wiki is to go to 2006's history on the wiki and then click the link at the top that says 2010.
That was instructive.
One thing that I noticed when looking through the announcements earlier in preparation for this show was that we've broken a record 6 of the 12 items of the month in 2010 were late.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Got to be a thing. Remember how I used to be really loath to do that? I would say, you know, we can make it late if we have to.
You still are loath to do that.
Yeah, but I've done it,
More often.
Half of the time. Something that I also thought would be instructive is, as we make it through here and we talk about the items of the month that we've done, contrasting and comparing those to the items of the month from the month in 2005.
Do they go back to 2005?
They do. 2005 was the first full year of Mr.
Wow.
Spin. Yeah.
That's kind of a funny comparison. That's a good idea. Can you bring up that screen?
Oh, we're actually above...
On one of your 20 monitors that you have floating in front of you in your massive control panel?
I only have one monitor here, actually.
Well, you've got a second one, but it's very small and running the radio show.
That's true. I don't think a laptop counts as a second monitor.
I think it kind of does.
I mean, you could use it as a monitor on another computer.
My laptop is my computer, and I have two monitors on it. I think it would be fun to make an array of old smartphone screens and address them as separate little monitors.
Huh.
I feel like I've seen some sort of art project using... Yeah, they were using cell phone screens as, like, paintings in some sort of, like, miniature diorama type situation. Or little set up as, like, widescreen TVs and little dollhouses and stuff like that, which I thought was kind of funny.
So the what happened? The January's item of the month this year was actually on time, so it was announced on December 31st of 2009. Okay. But that was the last of the elemental squeeze balls.
Which one was this? Was it
the stinky cheese ball? Yeah, I remember being really excited about the idea of a stinky cheese diaper.
I also
gotten that one done before we went out drinking for the night and before we got on our airplane to go to San Francisco, where we've got this other tradition of going to January for San Francisco month.
We didn't actually fly out on New Year's Eve, did we?
No, we flew out on New Year's Day.
I see.
We did it late because we knew we would be hungover, and then we got there and they were like, yeah, sorry, you don't actually have seats on this plane. And I got really... We were both angry at them, but I was yelling at the lady because she wouldn't use words that meant anything to us. She just kept saying the same thing over and over again, and it was some airline terminology. And finally, I was like, listen, the reason that we're continuing to get upset every time you say the same thing over and over again as an explanation for why you're not giving us the things that we paid for is that you're using words that don't mean anything to us because we don't work for an airplane company.
I don't even remember what happened in that.
We just got there and they wouldn't let us check in. They were like, "Nope, that flight was oversold by the plane's capacity." They like apparently twice as many tickets were sold for the plane as there were seats on the plane. Maybe that's a year that maybe January 1st tends to have an extremely high rate of cancellations
of
flights, which
sure.
I can understand because a lot of people maybe wake up not exactly feeling their best.
Yeah.
So then they added a new flight for the people who were stranded trying to get to San Francisco that night. That was when the pilot came on halfway through the flight and was like, yeah, we're thinking we might be able to get into San Francisco earlier than we thought because we can take a shortcut. And we were like, yeah. What the hell could that possibly mean?
Wormhole.
And then it turned out for the holidays, they were able to borrow some U.S. military airspace where there was nothing going on. And then we got to San Francisco and had to spend like an hour or an hour and a half flying in circles before they got cleared to land at that airport. But that was neat. It was over the water. It was very unturbulent, very calm.
And then we were locked out of our rented apartment.
Oh, yeah, and Sorab had to use his crazy yogi tricks to reach in the mail slot and unlock the door from the inside. Anyway, that was the stinky cheese ball.
Yep.
This is a Kingdom of Loathing year in review. Then the first thing that we did was... we can't have done that while we were gone, was getting the Valentines put into the store. That is a thing that we had been trying to do for 4 years, probably, since the Valentines got introduced in-game. We'd been meaning to print real Valentines.
Yes.
Those, we still have them. They should probably go back in the store.
Yeah, I think the plan is on or around January 1st to swap out the Crimbo cards for Valentine's, which is what I did last year, which is why I think it happened around the beginning of the year.
Right.
I could potentially do it after Christmas Day, because I guess nobody's going to buy Christmas cards after that, but I don't know.
then, how did this happen? on January 6th, the night of January 6th, we put in the traveling trader. Yes. I know that one of the first things that we worked on when we got to San Francisco was trying to come up with enough traveling trader items to last a year. In those first few days, we ended up with 18 workable ideas.
Yeah, of which we've released 4.
Some of which are still not actually finished being implemented.
Mine is sort of the one that I was happiest with is finally done and ready.
Cool.
I think.
Everything is?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's
pretty neat. It's by far the most disappointing.
That's true.
But yeah, the first thing that came out there was what was it? The Sorcerer skill book. Why is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8? How is it that we came up with 18 things, we have released 8 of them, and there are only like 4 left to release?
You weren't happy with a couple of them, I think.
Okay. Anyway, the Sorcerer skill book, which I think was just a stink version of Sauce Storm.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a stinky month.
It was. What happened after that? We made that change to the squeezables, including the squeeze ball, the cheese ball, so that they all go in sequence. And then minor interface cleanup on the skills page. I don't remember what that was. I think I may have made it so skills and buffs were in their own little windows.
Huh.
And
did you add icons at that point?
No.
Okay.
I put icons in the table for every skill, like March of 2008. No, March of 2009. I did that when I was in New York.
Okay.
And then didn't do anything with it until this year, I don't think.
Because they show up at the trainer now.
Yeah, they do.
But not...
They show up in the description pop-up. That finally got added at some point. I think after they got added to the trainer. Was that this year? That might have been this year. I guess we'll find out. Then CD Moyer made the familiar favoriting thing, which I guess people probably like. I don't know. I never think about it.
People use it. I definitely have used it.
Yeah. I tend to use a familiar once, you know, when I'm implementing it.
And then never again.
And then I put it away, yeah. And I have random familiars that I will take out when I need to test something for just having a familiar. Then a little while after that, CD Moyer made it so you could drag and drop the trophies to arrange them. And,
right.
Yeah. That's something that people had been asking about for a long time. I thought it had been quiet. That's why we're not getting as many Radio Bugbear questions as we used to, because 60% of the questions that we used to get were, can we please have a non-shitty way of arranging our trophies?
It does make me sad that that came after everybody had already arranged all their trophies without the new system.
Yeah, but then we added a bunch of new trophies.
Sure.
So and that was pretty good. Like,
put them in various places. Some people have spent some impressive amounts of time arranging their trophies.
Yeah. There's some neat things.
They look pretty cool when they're arranged aesthetically.
Yep. Wonder if we couldn't do a even nicer thing. You know, let somebody make a triangle out of their trophies, for instance. Or something like that.
Sure.
You know? Just if you're dragging and dropping. Good timing on somebody having a leaf blower outside.
I don't know if they'll be able to hear it out in radio land.
I don't know. Let's see. On the 26th of January, we added that thing to potions where they told you what effect that they would give you.
Oh, right. That's very friendly.
That was a side effect of... Yeah, and then you can click that to get a pop-up of the effect. So, and the effects tell you what they're going to do. So you just know right what a potion does.
So this I think, is indicative of something that I'm not sure when it started, which was your desire to sort of improve the accessibility, I think, of a lot of the features of the game. Particularly for new players, for old players that come back that haven't seen the game in a while and don't remember how things work. Like, I feel like you've been making an effort to improve that in a lot of ways. And was this the first thing that you did along those lines, or had you been doing this for a while?
Well, I mean, this was kind of a... When was it that we made it so... I feel like it was before Xenophobe quit that we made, like, effects tell you what they were doing.
With the... Because that's why we put everything in RPN.
Well, that's not why we put it... We put it in RPN because Xenophobe is crazy.
Sure.
That's why we codified
standardized.
It. Because prior to that, all of the effects had just been hard-coded, and that was a mess, and making all the scripts really big, and it was, you know... Once there got to be, like, 1,000 effects or whatever. I don't think there are 1,000.
We're getting close, though.
They're like 700 or 800, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of effects, I wanted to make a little PSA. I didn't do a trivial announcement because I couldn't think of a way to say this in a way that wouldn't potentially just confuse the heck out of new players. But I spent a little time cleaning up the effects, in particular, that you can get from the hookah, and made some stuff that you couldn't previously get because it was just marked incorrectly in our sort of database that should have been able to get by the hookah, and then made a fair number of effects that you had been able to get from the hookah no longer available.
Right, like the plus monster level stuff.
All of every
single
one of those.
The stuff that we think of as good because the power players think of it as good, but that to a new player is actually.
It's potentially may or may not be good. So it's that basically those, the hookahs are supposed to really only give you effects that are, without question, a positive thing, and plus monster level is very questionable for a new player whether or not that's a good thing. So all of those are no longer available via the hookah. So, sorry about that, kids, if that was something that you were excited about. But
did you do more of that, like, today? I saw in the log a couple days ago that you had removed all the... Or no, you sent a question to Radio Bugbear that said...
I did.
Tell everybody
to remind
that
me.
I've removed all this. Yeah, we haven't gotten to the Radio Bugbear questions in a long time. We should probably... It just, you know, we get enough stuff on Twitter and the forums that it keeps us talking the entire time.
Yeah.
And so it's...
And also we like to talk.
Yeah, we talk about... Minecraft and World of Warcraft.
Poop socking.
Yeah. Poop socking the World of Warcraft. Doing some raids. Taking down some Ragnarodes.
Have you talked much about your new experiences in the Cataclysm?
I haven't. We're getting quieter and quieter. Like, I'm not showing up on the thing at all.
Huh.
Anymore.
Yeah, you are. You're right there.
I guess there's just a slight delay. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck. This is weird. These little bouncy things.
We can do the first segment and then...
Listen to it and
make sure that we're actually recording.
Yeah.
No, and if we're not, then we're screwed because
I
have to catch a plane.
People just might have to turn their volumes up really high. Anyway, so then the 28th, the Traveling Trader came back with...
A non-skill book.
Yeah, the ball pit. The ball pit ball.
Yeah.
Which was Riff's super sweet idea. What did you need? 10,000 of them?
Yep. 0.1% per ball.
Yeah. Then what happened? CD Moyer made it so you could free pull items out of your display case. I don't know why that was exactly. Then we announced that the... due to travel schedules and the fact that we decided to take a joke way too far, February's item of the month will be at least a day late. But what I first want to do is compare the Stinky Cheese Ball to 2005... January 2005's item of the month, the Orphan Baby Yeti.
Which was a familiar.
The Orphan Baby Yeti was actually one of the more complicated.
It has a diaper, so that in that way they are the same.
That's true. That is true.
So the Orphan Baby Yeti was thematically based off of the Yeti contest, Yeti naming contest, right?
Right, yes.
So that was sort of thematically what was going on.
Because we'd been
and also
feeding
the
Yeti
New
spears.
Year, the New Year baby kind of thing.
And so what does it do? It does some damage. It's starfishes. It is a starfish, right?
That's not particularly complicated.
No, I guess not. You know, I was thinking of the pygmy bugbear shaman.
Yes, which is not a baby.
What else does he do, though? That can't be right.
Well, so you equate pygmies and babies in your head?
Mm-hmm.
I see. I think you're going to be rudely awakened when you go to the Amazon, my friend.
Well, so that was pretty straightforward. If I needed to code another familiar that did that right now, probably take about 10 minutes.
Is that short or long?
That's short.
Okay.
That's short for an item of the month.
Oh, yeah. For
items of the month that can be coded up in 10 minutes. Those days are over, buddy. So then, February of 2010, the item of the month was what?
The Librum of Brickos.
Yeah, all right. So that was fucking crazy.
It was fun.
It was fun. I had Riff make me a bunch of animals out of Legos and take pictures of them and send them to me.
Because we were in San Francisco.
We were. I was drawing some of them myself. I had some graph paper, I think.
Yeah, we had to we constructed a lot of very large Lego drawings in Photoshop or PaintShop Pro.
Yeah, and we did take it really far. We came up with a number of things that we thought would make it interesting, and then we essentially doubled that number by doing larger and larger things that you can make with it. But
my one regret, well, okay, besides that I have bonitis, my second regret is that we did not do an entire second tier of identical Brico
out of things, the gold.
Out of the gilded ones.
So a gilded cathedral that no one would ever have been able to get.
Well, I mean, eventually. It would have been kind of awesome.
Yeah. The Brico clan dungeon that you build, that was an idea that we had.
And maybe it's still out there. Maybe you can build one for a billion
Brickos. There haven't been enough Brickos created yet. Yeah. Then what continued to happen in February? The Traveling Trader came back again, like, relatively close after that. And, yeah, Inigo's, that was a thing.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah, people actually care about that in an Ascension context now.
And that was somebody in Dev's idea.
Krovax? Yeah. An accordion thief song that turns of the buff get consumed to craft things instead of turns.
Yeah.
With the later in the year crafting changes, it became slightly less useful at the low end, but that just meant that you could save it for more important things. I think partly what it did was it made some meatsmithing stuff actually reasonable to do in a run.
Right.
That wasn't before. When you could do it for some mana instead of a turn, it suddenly became a thing that people would consider. And that was the first time we used that whole turns of a buff getting consumed.
Yes, because we had the very first thing that we did was an effect that was based on the number of turns of a buff you had. That was, like, I think the first time we used the duration of the buff as a meaningful thing other than just a just a number of turns available.
I feel like you do a lot of that kind of stuff. You do things that it's easy to get, like, one turn of a buff. When I asked you, like, you know, design something interesting for this candy to do or whatever.
Right.
You go back to that a lot. There had been an array in the fight script of stun messages for all the different ways in which you could stun monsters, and they all had things that indicated it was a message that you were supposed to get when the stun wore off.
Oh, right. That had never worked.
Well, the reason that went in was so that I could make things stun resistant when we were starting to think about bosses in clan dungeons.
Right.
Or whatever. Or when we were thinking about the Ultimate Hobo Fighting Championship ticket that I was trying to implement that year in Brambleberry that turned into Hobopolis.
Right.
Which was weird. Because we were trying to figure out how to make fights that weren't trivial, right? So making things resistant to stuns was one way of doing that.
Right.
Items and effects that give you plus food drops for monsters now apply to cooking ingredients as well as edible items. So that was just here's some free stuff. February 16th marked a new milestone, the first time C.D. Moyer had ever written an announcement.
Oh, yeah?
7 new trophies. No, 10 are now available. I mean, 17, 3? 70. I don't remember. Why did we add 7 new trophies?
Well, we had introduced at least one with the item of the month. And there were a couple other ideas that we had for a while. We just sort of implemented a handful of them all at the same time.
Right. So then March's item of the month was late. That was, February. We need to contrast the Librum of Brickos, which was like dozens of items, several monsters you could fight in a Librum. February of 2005 was Silk Garter Snake. That was basically a Kokomo.
Was it a Kokomo or a Leprechaun?
It was, what does it do?
Because I know it does meat in combat.
Fights or steals meat like a kokobo and tangles like a levitating potato. Yeah.
So it doesn't do everything that a kokobo will do.
Yeah, it does a handful of other things. Again, did not consist of much.
Yeah, the bar, way lower.
Yep.
You keep raising the bar, which makes Limbo so much easier. I don't understand.
March's item of the month was both late and unfinished. June's was on time, but unfinished.
Huh.
Yep.
So, wait, we released it without it being done?
Yeah, we released it, and the Tweedleporium was just
That
we couldn't, like, there were a bunch of gift items that we wanted to sell, but we didn't really figure out what they were going to be, and so we decided to give ourselves, apparently, an extra 8 days. No, 9 days.
Huh. I feel like we're entitled assholes for releasing stuff like that.
Brought Uncle P's back on the 12th with that, with the tuxedo.
Right. That
you could buy and the much cheaper villa document.
Yep.
I think. I haven't heard what kind of impact that has had, because I still don't pay any attention to villa.
Very few people talk in there.
You almost
on a regular basis.
Could say that I vilify them in my heart.
Fie on villa.
Then I went back to San Francisco, and while I was sitting in Sorab's office while we were working on the other game, coding up the initial version of The Puppy's Dream.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, new game contains a segment called The Puppy's Dream.
It's fun.
It is.
It's really hard.
It is pretty... I don't know if it has... Does it have the, like, sort of graphical trick that you wanted to add to it? Does it now?
Oh, it's had that for
months.
Oh,
okay. I've not actually played our new game.
It's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, so Uncle P's came back with that. And when is it that... When did we actually start putting the maps in Uncle P's?
So that was...
In May. All right, so...
The plan was to do it...
The plan for January was to have the year's worth of Traveling Traders and a year's worth of those maps done.
And that did not happen.
Yeah. Well, the maps were supposed to be really, really simple. And we just can't do anything simple. We've learned. So then, yeah, while I was in San Francisco working on The Puppy's Dream, I also just sat down. It took about an hour to do the revamp of the Enormous Greater Than sign. It took a long time to think of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I
spent a lot of time thinking about what I was going to do. But
and that was generally very well received, but...
It didn't actually solve the problem. Like, so there was discussion of
the large
box
problem,
right? And that's what prompted me to think about the Dungeons of Doom in general. And then I made that change, which didn't actually solve... that problem.
No.
But it made it better for some other people who had some different problems.
I think it is a more fun thing now. The large box problem sounds like some sort of unsolved mathematical problem or something. Like in the history of math. I saw this really cool book yesterday that was like, I think it's just called Math, and it is just sort of interesting things that happen like from a historical perspective in mathematics. And like,
I would argue that there are no interesting things that have happened in this, because A, history is boring, B, math is boring, so I think the history of math is probably...
I was pretty proud of my
multiplicatively boring
tweet yesterday.
Yeah,
it was both historical and mathematical in nature.
Got a lot of retweets.
I did.
Yeah, I when I looked at it was the first time on my phone app that there was ever one of those little tear-off gaps because there were too many replies in between the one time I checked the feed and the next time. And that formula is accurate?
Yep.
There were some people contesting it, but then there were some people telling those people they were wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah. Isn't it great that people leap to our defense on the internet?
Yes.
Even when we're wrong?
No.
Okay, fine. Oh, let's see.
We're wrong so often, it just turns around 360 degrees and is right again.
So, the Traveling Trader came back at the end of March and brung with him... Oh, wait, we did not compare the Clan Looking Glass, which was all those chess puzzles, a couple zones, big quest, a bunch of new items you could make.
Yeah.
It was fucking awesome.
That was stuff.
It was super fun to design. I hope people play through it once.
Second
and it's
VIP room furniture.
Yes, it was.
So it was also the VIP key.
Right.
Which by itself now gives you access to potentially multiple things.
Yep.
So I mean that item of the month is actually a bunch of different things.
Well, although the rest of the VIP stuff was mostly there before that. Right?
No, I know. What I'm saying though is those months for a new player, that's actually potentially a lot of new content.
Oh, I guess that's true depending on what their clan has. Yeah. I don't know. I wonder how many clans there are that have all the stuff in the VIP lounge and...
Except new players?
Yeah, except new players and maybe don't hook them up with an invitation. I don't know.
I mean, there's got to be a bunch that don't get your own invitation.
Yeah.
I'm imagining, you know, places like, you know, Circinum's or whatever, like, who have... There's no way that they could hand out VIP invitations to all their new members. And they probably have a full VIP room.
All right, so this thing, which was a zone, 50 items probably, a bunch of different monsters and things. Compare and contrast to a March 2005 item of the month, the Lucky Tam O'Shanter, which is a familiar equipment that's plus 50% meat drops.
It wasn't always plus 50% meat drops.
It was plus 10 pounds of leprechaun. Yeah.
And then when the
formula changed, I didn't want to nerf an old Mr. Store item, so we just made it do what it used to do.
Right.
I think the maple got slightly better as a result of that change.
I don't know.
Because I couldn't make it plus 12.5% item drops.
Right.
We'll get to that, though. So then, on March 31st, we made... what did the Traveling Trader have then? The Traveling Trader had Curiosity of Brer Terrapin, which I don't remember what that does. Gives you an effect. It's a self-buff. Plus one familiar experience per adventure. Yep.
Isn't per adventure a word in and of itself?
I don't think so.
I'm going to look it up.
I think you're thinking of permutation, and how whenever you undergo a new mutation, you consider it to be an adventure.
It's possible.
Or a perambulator. You're thinking of an ambulator.
That's what picks you up when you have some sort of heart attack, right?
Yes.
Desultory, I looked up the other day. That's a cool word.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
Lacking a plan, purpose, or enthusiasm.
Okay. So, phoned in.
So, of conversation or speech going from one subject to another in a half-hearted way, unfocused. I feel like many of our radio shows are desultory.
Are they desultory philippics?
I don't know what a philippics
a philippic. Like a thing that Philip would do. All right. So I was at a holiday party, and I need you to play along. I need you to not fuck up this joke for me.
All right, I'll try.
I heard a joke that I really liked. Knock knock.
Who's there?
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 Philip Glass.
Oh, God. Peradventure means, it's an adverb, means perhaps.
Oh.
As a noun, it means uncertainty or doubt as to whether something is the case, which is so ironic, or not ironic, so
plus
appropriate.
One, maybe.
Because I was like...
Maybe plus one familiar experience.
I was like, peradventure is a word, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, I see. Yeah. This is getting pretty meta.
It is.
So, yeah, that was that skill. You know what we still haven't done is a disco bandit skill.
Yes. You've got an idea.
Yeah, I do.
You need to spend a lot of time listening to some music.
Yes. Yes, I do.
All the disco
well,
music.
I need to spend a lot of time listening to a very small amount of disco music, yeah. I didn't even think of that as a disco song, but I guess it totally is.
Yep.
That's even more appropriate.
I know.
Recent familiars have been added to the doppelshifter / wardrobe rotation, and that code has been rewritten to be more efficient. He wrote, ha ha ha, oh, there's always a preview. There's always a joke prior to April 1st where I talk about having fixed some code that then the April 1st joke is we pretend that code is broken. When will they ever learn?
That's happened exactly twice.
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty funny both times, though.
I always do it now, though. It's funny that we tend to do things in such a half-ass manner.
Yeah, and then we're super serious about April 1st for some reason.
No, but that it's a joke when we... like, what we do as an April 1st joke is we pretend to have screwed up even more seriously than usual. Somebody described me as having really dropped the ball on some Crimbo content this year because of forgetting to mark an effect public. I really dropped the ball. I need to go fall on my sword.
I feel like we have dropped so many balls that are so much larger than that one in the past. That's like a BB, a ball bearing.
You know, there must have just been a missing thing here. On the 12th, the first Uncle P's map came out. What was the first one?
It was super simple, actually, because I remember there was a...
The map to the landscapers
layer.
Yes. That's what they were all supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Because that one really... That one I coded in a day. Like, I did all of the work for that in a single 8-hour stretch.
The idea was that all the maps would be done one per day.
Yeah.
And so when we were asked to design them, we were tried to limit the number of actual things in them to 10.
Right.
Which is really hard.
It is really hard, because, like, a monster counts as one, a non-combat counts as one, an item counts as one, an effect counts as one. Yeah. So, I don't think I even managed to do that in the landscapers.
I think it was more like, 12 or 15 or something. Yeah. And most of the ones that we've done have been more like 20 things.
Yeah.
But I was pretty rigid with mine. I think I kept mine, too.
I think there's a lot of yours that we probably could still implement relatively quickly. It was weird,
though.
They're
just not as thematically interesting, I think, is part of the problem.
No, they're cool. I think a lot of yours are really neat ideas.
Although I themed them all wrong.
Well, because I wanted them all to actually be maps, and Hot Stuff sort of explicitly did not want them to be maps. So one of his is, for instance, a stethoscope. I honestly think it doesn't matter. At this point, I think we could, we do a stethoscope, whatever.
Yeah, but, if they're all maps...
I think
maps,
it's cool that way, though.
I put in a note in each of them, a way that you could retheme them as maps.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I was thinking of it as Uncle P's Antiques as more like a Friday the 13th. I don't know why I keep coming back to that thematically.
I don't know. Yeah, we were talking about it the other day at, dinner.
I really like that. I liked that show. I liked the idea.
I bet the show is fucking terrible.
Oh, it's
awful. I bet if
we
went back and tried to watch it now, it'd be...
But the idea of it was really cool.
You know what would be interesting, though, is, sitting and reading, if there was a wiki, if there was a Friday the 13th, the series wiki, just sitting and reading synopses of all of the episodes
would
probably be
interesting. There is something, because I remember one player had a display case that was objects that were as close as possible to the thing.
Oh, neat.
It was really neat, actually, yeah. So...
I wish I had known about that. I would have started implementing objects specifically for that guy to put in his display case.
He'd done a really good job given just the extant objects in the game, which I was pretty impressed by, because
there are thousands of objects.
Yeah, we have thousands of objects that arrange all over the board in terms of what they are. So it's pretty impressive, the things that you can connect that way.
The second Uncle P's map, which came out on the beginning of April.
We talked about April's item of the month?
Did we talk about April's item of the month? No, we didn't. So. What was April's item of the month? The bugged bugbear.
So that was a familiar, but also some drops and interesting mechanics.
Yeah.
Oh, because it was also April 1st. And that one, we told people in advance that it was going to stay in the store.
We always tell people in advance that it's going to stay in the store.
And they still don't believe us.
Yeah. Because what we did in April of 2005 was there was a really crappy... What I thought was a really crappy familiar. It was a familiar that had the functionality of the two most derisively snorted about familiars in the game, the potato and the barnacle. But it turns out that having both of those functionalities at once made it kind of useful for people. So then that thing only being available for a day and then getting replaced with another item made it so April was always a big month for sales, even though we keep telling people this isn't going away.
Yeah.
After April.
We didn't mean to play with our investors like that.
Yeah. That was the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th thing that had gone into Mr. Store. I didn't know we had investors.
Sure. That's
true. So it's
in April we also every year put the... What is it?
Every year since last year, since 2009, we do the tiny costume wardrobe, which is weird. I mean, granted, the VIP key has really relevant functionality, right? It has a lot of gameplay stuff. Same deal, though. It's available like once a year, and there is a huge resale market in those. They will actually go up in value really significantly over time, whereas the wardrobe, we basically didn't sell any last year, and... This past year,
it's a tradable object.
Yeah,
the VIP key is not.
I guess that's true.
I think that has a major impact. But we're putting the wardrobe in for people who want to see, everything. All the
maintain. I think I was trying to say maintain and retain, and I said merpain. retain the double shifter functionality from year to year.
Yeah.
All right. So I got too many tabs open now.
Oh yeah.
So then we did MC Frontalot's quest that he designed. The day that I met MC Frontalot, which was after the first year that we had the concert, and then there was like an after party at my house, and he was hanging out, and he sheepishly, after getting into a conversation where we found out that we both had the same first computer, he sheepishly admitted to him and a buddy of his having drawn up these elaborate plans for a quest that would go into KOL, and that he wanted to present them to me someday.
Was that the first time that he'd played?
Yeah.
Our con.
Yep. That was the first time we'd played, and that was like the first time I'd actually met him in like a personal context. And then the next year he'd hung out
a little bit with Mr. Skullhead before.
A little bit, yeah. And then the next year he was here again, and it didn't come up. And then the year after that, I went to New York and hung out with him, and then he just showed me. He was like, you know what? I'm just going to print this out and hand it to you, and then I'm done. It's like, I don't have to like think about, oh, this is a thing that I should hand him someday. So we put that thing together, and it was really interesting to me to see somebody else's idea of the kind of thing that we would do.
Yeah, it was, there were definitely some things that just did not translate to the structures that we have in place to create content. So we had to kind of bend a little bit of the design document in a couple of different ways. But it was fun to do that as an Uncle P's map and sort of correlate that with...
Yeah, because when we had been thinking about it a lot in the past, and it was like, all right, this is a little too weird and one-off and out of our style to have as, like, you know, a council or guild quest or something. And it's like, there aren't a whole lot of places to have things that are not really attached, but having it as like a consumable item, I think, was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, I feel like you can still get those in the mall if you really want them.
And I liked the sort of like, you know, we got to promote his new CD, and, you know, he, because his CD promotes us and stuff like that. There are definitely people that have come to play our game because of the theme song that he wrote for us.
There are?
Yeah. There are.
You're
people.
Certain?
Yes.
You're positive?
Well, I mean, I've got anecdotal evidence, which is all I need, right? All
right, right. Keep collecting those.
Yep.
And you'll be a scientist, just like Malcolm Gladwell.
Only if I formulate my hypothesis now.
Yeah.
So, astrophysicists, to be desultory for a moment, astrophysicists will collect data. They will form their hypothesis and test it on that data that they collect, but they will embargo half of their data to then evaluate their hypothesis on additional data because of the problem of it's too easy to find patterns in, you know, pre-existing data sets.
That's kind of...
So I'm just saying that is a regular practice in science.
Sure, but I think that illustrates my point that it's not science if you're doing it on data that's already in front of you.
Well, unless you can additionally
verify,
but it's all of the data was collected beforehand.
Also, all of that data is not going to change ever, right? Like you're collecting observations. Arguably, if you the universe as we can see it from here does not change particularly quickly, right? So, if you buy a lot of expensive telescope time to get a bunch of data in one particular direction, if you just got that data again, it would be the same data.
That's arguable, right?
I don't know. I know fuck all about astrophysics.
All right. A friend of mine is doing her PhD thesis on the notion of space as a place, which is kind of interesting. And so just talking about what it means to have like these sort of exoplanet ideas that we've got, because, you know, right now most of our data about them comes from things like not seeing the light of a star briefly.
Right, getting dimmed or slight wobbles in stars that are attributable to the orbit of,
and then translating that to a notion of like what it would be like to be on the surface of that planet. I mean, there's, you know, some additional like maybe spectrographic information or whatever, but like that's kind of a major jump in sort of the idea of...
It must be comforting to scientists who are trying to answer these big questions to know that when they die, they'll just be able to ask God.
That's true. Be able to go there themselves.
Yep. And if they, you know, if they were Mormons as well as being scientists,
they would get
maybe
one
they'll
of those
get
planets.
One of those planets,
yeah,
to lord over.
Exactly.
Have a whole race of people to take care of.
Is that the idea that you become a little god of your own planet or something?
I don't know.
That's a popular...
That is at least a rumor about it. And that is an extremely pervasive theme in Orson Scott Card's works, which are by and large really, really Mormon-y. Like they are often sort of like allegories of the tenets of Mormonism. Right? Like either the history of the Mormon people, or, which is weird because like fucking they don't have history. This shit happened in the 1800s. That's not history. If he was a Jew and writing about, you know, if he was writing Dune, then yeah, that you can have an allegory of thousands of years of history in an interesting science fiction plot.
Sure.
Like, this story is the allegory of Johnny Appleseed, you know? Like, that doesn't really count.
Even though that was 200 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, 200 years doesn't count.
Okay.
You can't have a mythology.
I thought that Star Wars had a mythology.
You can't have a real...
Oh, but that happened a long, long time ago.
Yes. And also it was fictional. So you can manufacture one.
I see.
But you can't have one if you've only been around for 100 years.
Are you saying that Mormons actually exist?
Oh, weird. Yeah, I guess they do, don't they?
I don't know. I've never seen one.
Are you Mormon agnostic?
I went to Salt Lake City once. There was nothing there.
Huh. Are you sure you were just not in the wrong place?
I mean, I suppose it's possible. There was...
Yeah, it's weird. When they filmed the movie SLC Punk, it was entirely green screen. They made this entire city of CGI. Ah, Matthew Lillard.
Lillard.
April. Wow, we're at 46 minutes and only up through April. All right, so the Traveling Trader came back in April, and what did he have that time? Schrodinger's Thermos, which was another of Riff's ideas.
Yeah.
Funny. Plexiglass, Pike became Plexiglass Pike Staff, and it was like a mess for a long time because it still had like spear stabbing messages and like, I don't even know, man. Cineware fixed something about chat, being able to chat while you're astral. Then on April 20th, on Dude 420, combat macros.
Which, wow, that's huge.
Big step forward for the kids who care about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I still don't use any combat macros. I don't use any macros in World of Warcraft. I just play with the native interface all the time, and it's great. I love it.
Yeah, but
I like it when people call in a radio bugbear and say something, and they're like, and please don't tell me to use Mafia. I like using the native interface. I'm like, fuck yeah, you like using the native interface. That's what I use, except for chat, because active chat is just... miles better.
So clearly we should somehow implement that, and it should just do a browser detection.
Yeah.
Or something.
And do the old chat NIE or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I think... I have a feeling that the guy who runs Active Chat is based on C.D. Moyer's code, which if I said, hey, C.D. Moyer, can we use your code? I'm sure he would not be like, no, you fucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Scully's pushing for it, too. Like, the fact that it now works in Firefox and Chrome, I don't know if it works in Safari or not, but I think somebody had said... something about it working in Safari.
Safari's gotten some kind of extension library thing that's gone.
And I think there's a post in the forums right now about a big KOL extension for Safari.
Is Chrome no longer just a steaming pile of shit?
Yeah, apparently Chrome is just good now. And
okay.
A lot of people are switching from Firefox to it. Like, Scully swears by it, and Scully is the one who finally, after years of me insisting on continuing to use Internet Explorer, got me to use Firefox... You know, so, like,
How do people switch their allegiances? So, like, it's like they don't go to like, Firefox Church on Sunday or something? suddenly they're...
You know, I mean, I switched back to Internet Explorer after it demonstrated itself to be a much better browser than the bullshit that Netscape had turned into by version 6 or 7.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think there's just always a best browser, you know? And for people who care more about their experience of using a computer than they do brand loyalty, which...
Yeah. I switched to Safari when I, you know, started using OS 10 or whatever, and it was not great, but then I installed this, like, extension set, which made it way better than any other browser for a long time, and like a bunch of other browsers have sort of caught up, I think.
So, yeah, combat macros are pretty cool.
Yeah. They work in Safari.
Yeah, they do. They work in every browser.
Although Safari has one major sort of mind-boggling bug with KOL, which is with... the heraldry forms. If you submit a heraldry form, for some reason, like, you
Like, yeah, it just makes it so you can't do anything else ever again.
Yeah, and so you have to, like, log out. It's so weird.
And that form is just a totally straightforward HTML form. Like, I thought maybe there was some weird Ajax stuff going on that was causing problems. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck.
Super, super strange.
It is.
So, yeah, combat macros, which around this time, we started conceiving of the notion of sending comeback emails, as I recall, which we're not going to have an announcement for, I don't think.
Right.
But I remember them being something like, we just did this, we might want to talk about this in the letter that we write.
Right.
Those are just, you know, we had never used the email addresses that people had given us for anything, as far as I know.
Right.
And so we were like, well, we don't want to, like, violate people's sort of expectations or trust, but we might as well tell people how the game has gotten a lot better if they haven't played in years.
I think the fact that the message is entertaining
helps a lot.
I've only gotten one complaint, and it was from a total bitch with an entirely different agenda. So, seriously, only one complaint.
We've gotten a ton of...
After thousands of emails.
We've gotten a ton of positive press.
Yeah.
Because of it, because it's, you know... Scully is brilliant. And it was just...
Yeah, fucking hilarious. I read for the first time the second Crimbo promotion text, and it was like, that was fucking great.
Yeah.
The boy's upstairs, and his tiny little head's on top of his head.
Ah. Oh. Yep.
That guy. Anyway, after that in April, I mean, quick action set to auto attack should no longer cause weird issues with the first round of combat being repeated. That was a weird exploitable thing.
Yeah. We have still not, I don't think, squashed every single first round of combat auto attack issue.
Yeah.
Because combat
macros required a pretty fundamental change to the way the fight script operates.
Yeah.
And
there's all kinds of legacy.
Boy, is the fight script a mess.
Trouble.
Also, there was that bug that was letting you do one turn slime tube runs. So we had to stop that.
Right.
Traveling Trader came back at the end of April and Brung with him. Stringazzi Serpent, the Postmaster skill. Then Item of the Month was late again. So we looked at April. So then May's Item of the Month was... What was May? January, February, March, April, May. The Crown of Thrones. Big and complicated.
Yeah.
Honestly, not a big deal. I find it less of a big deal to do Crown of Thrones behavior for a new familiar than I do hat rack behavior for a new hat. but compare that to 2005, which was equipment also, but it was just the miniature gravy-covered maypole.
You didn't actually talk about the personal raindrop.
Oh, which right. Raindrop was another one of those just April's, random, do yeah. a bunch of random shit.
It was like a Kokobo, but slightly better.
Which we don't really, although I guess people like the, I think we've learned that if we're going to do a bunch of random shit familiar, it needs to have like a cool gimmick.
The bugbear was one of those, right? The bug baby bugbear.
Yeah, but not really, because you could tune it. You could tune it to actually be situationally extremely useful.
Yeah.
Right? And that's its gimmick. The stocking was one of those, but it had the infinite weight gain thing.
And the like eating candy or whatever.
Yeah, apparently those candies are useful.
Oh, the candies that it drops are very useful, yeah. The buffs on those.
that came out. Then what did I do? I replaced a busted switch with a gigabit switch. No, maybe I just replaced a regular switch, a 10 megabit switch with a gigabit switch.
I don't know how much that helps if the cards only have 10 base T Ethernet in them, right? The machines.
The web servers do.
Right.
The new web servers have gigabit. The database servers have gigabit.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that we were ever actually saturating those interfaces. Anyway.
Who knows? Well, okay, I think we were saturating it when it was just a 100-bit. 100-bit?
I don't know.
Is that a thing?
Dude, I don't know. I don't think so.
I think, because we had definitely would have 100
megabit.
100 megabit. I don't know how, like, Geoff was saying that we definitely had enough traffic to be saturating that thing. So, anyway, we replaced it.
Yeah. A new Uncle Pease operation. Item came in, and what was that one? I don't know. Maybe the,
It was not a...
Castlevania.
Probably.
Yeah. That was my favorite. I really enjoyed putting that together.
And Ascension relevant.
And, overpowered. Makes people complain about pulling pixel orbs.
You could also pull the map to get the monster.
Yeah.
For the pixels.
You could also keep fighting the boss without having any adventures. Up until like a week ago.
Huh.
There was some advantage to doing it. I think you could... if you ran away, you could use a Kokobo to get infinite meat, because you could keep starting the fight, running it out to the round limit. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep. Anyway, that was either May or June. I don't fucking know. What else did we do? We did the hippiest place on Earth.
So now you're just talking about things out of order.
Yeah. Well, because I don't know. I don't have a thing up that tells me which one of the Uncle P's maps came out. This is just the announcement. There's a new item in Uncle P's. It doesn't say what it was.
I had to make a list of items of the month. Is there not a list of those things
in
the KOL wiki?
Yeah, there probably is.
You should probably look at that.
Fine.
You could bring it up on the internets.
Yeah. Don't think we're going to have any music breaks. We're at almost an hour, and I still haven't done any of the what's it. Okay, so it was the first one was Landscaper's Lair, then the one that we were talking about here was actually the kegger in the woods. Yeah.
Okay.
So, which, again, that was Scully's. Awesome thematically, good writing, and approximately the right number of things.
Yes.
Also took like a day to write.
Sure.
And was fine, but, you know, nobody talks about it, right? Like, it's that's the thing.
I think the ones that I had written up, I don't think they would be sort of considered afterwards. But, you know, it is a chunk of new content that... I really like this. It's a chunk of new content that new players... Players who are sort of active and participating will enjoy. Old players who come back won't be overwhelmed by it because they won't even know it exists.
Right. Until they actively seek it out, which they can
in
the future.
And then it is just a separate chunk of content, and it's just not a big deal.
Yep.
It's not like we're adding quests that you see and then feel like you have to do. Or...
Yeah, no. I mean, I definitely like it as a vector for adding stuff in. You know, there's probably some stuff in the core game that I wish was one of those. Right?
Sure.
Yep. So then June was a big content familiar. That one was even less done than usual when it launched. I think we launched with two games.
Wow, well, really only two?
I think so.
I thought there might have been three. I think we only finished two late. I think we launched with three.
Did we do Dungeon Fist, Demon Star, and Space Trip?
I think so. Because Medioid was late.
Yeah.
We never did Jackass Plumber.
Right. What's the other one? Didn't Scully have
maybe
one?
Demon Fist wasn't done.
That was like the easiest one. Demon Star was. Okay.
I think. And then what was the other one?
Oh yeah, Dungeon Fist didn't come out until the 20th, and then Medioid not until the 25th. Yeah, that was super late. Okay, yeah.
But yeah, there was another one in there that I don't remember the theming.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, it's the Street Fighter one.
Oh, yeah. That was there at launch. I knew there was another one that Scully had done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fucking work.
He did a ton it made me
happy
of writing.
It made me happy, though. I mean, all of them were a lot of work. It made me happy that I made two entirely new games, and then people liked them. I'm like, sweet.
People still play Space Trip, I think.
I make games.
Just for fun, you know?
Medioid, I think, was more fun to make, but I think Space Trip is more fun to play.
I remember sitting in a... hostel in Prague.
Yep.
While we started writing while you that worked dungeon on the generator. Yeah. Dungeon generator.
It was pretty cool.
You got like a hard on for dungeon generators for a while.
Yep. And then didn't do anything with it except Medioid.
You did something else with it.
I mean, I still have all that tech, basically.
Yeah.
It's not even tech so much as like it's just a methodology in my head for building something like this into KOL
but
that's
you've
totally
used it
easy
for
to
at
do.
At least one other thing.
No. I used it for one of the preliminary things for the tavern revamp that we didn't end up using.
Oh. I see.
I go back and forth on the idea of making the daily dungeon into an actual dungeon crawl.
Yeah.
Because dungeon crawls are fun. Right, I just don't know that I believe that they belong
in KOL.
KOL. Because KOL is a game with zero sense of place, right? It's very much, like in Medioid, it's fine, because Medioid is just like a little mini game.
Right.
You can't get out of it, right? If there's a thing where you're, all right, so I need to move to this other room, oh, I need to be able to use something in my inventory,
as long
my KOL inventory,
as you
to heal
can
something.
Can always get to the entrance... You know, like...
See, I think that's a hassle, though. Making it so you have to find your way out of a thing to get back to your inventory doesn't make any sense.
No, but what I'm saying is, as long... Like, if there's a map, and you are always delving deeper, but you could just go back and there's no
obstacles.
If you
always could just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I don't think it's that weird, you know, because it's like you could have squares that were marked as defeated or explored
sure.
versus those.
But you'd have to anyway for there to be any meaningful progression.
Right, but I don't feel like you'd have to necessarily lock them into that map, is what I'm saying.
We started taking Rixdy, even though I didn't want to.
Which... I feel like I don't know that it's been super advantageous for them, but I feel like
we're making a little bit of money, and people can now
have happy
donate
happy with it.
10 cents to us.
There was some promotion that they had where if you gave them $40, they would give you an extra $10 credit or something like that, which I don't remember if I promoted
have
at
you
all.
Promoted that, huh?
I feel like I might have mentioned it at some point, but I don't know.
So here's a question.
Yeah.
With their rates, would we be better off? Would we have gotten more money if they had just given us $40 through PayPal than if they had given Rixdy $40?
It was very close.
Five? Yeah, was it?
That particular promotion made it very close.
Huh. Then the Traveling Trader came back at the end and did Iron Palm Technique, which I think people don't like.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it's too expensive and not particularly useful. I don't know. I feel like it could maybe some weird situational weirdness, potentially. Dude,
I like the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. So then that was it until... Now we shortened rollover.
What was June of 2005's admin month?
June of 2005's item of the month was the Deflated Inflatable Dodecapede, a familiar that attacked.
That was designed specifically with the Naughty Sorceress fight in mind before Ascension launched.
That was the item of the month that was in the store when Ascension launched.
Okay.
People used them for a long time.
I used it to fight the Naughty Sorceress.
And honestly, that's why I think about that when I think about people talking about, like, well, you know, you don't want to deprecate old Mr. Store items, and I'm like, you know, why not? Nobody ever complains about not getting any use out of their Dodecapede anymore, right? You know, it's fine if something that's 5 years old is a relic of what the game was 5 years ago, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the stuff that people still... I guess the issue is the stuff that people still use...
Yeah.
They feel a little cheated if...
But if the game changed to make it so they didn't use it anymore, they don't care.
They probably would be as less resistant to it. Given time. I mean, time sort of heals all kvetching, right?
Yep. Yeah, because eventually the kvetcher will die.
Yeah.
And then he can kvetch to God.
Yes.
All right. That's the first half of the year. Let's take a little break from recording here.
Make sure that we're actually...
All right, we're back from that little break. Stuff is being put in the thing.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Data is being archived on the Drisk.
Oh, I see.
The Drisk drive, it's like that Drow technology that has two scimitars that it uses to write data.
Oh, the Drizzt drive.
Yeah, the Drizzt drive. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. So yeah, we pulled up some statistics from this year that are interesting. 132,000 new accounts created.
Yeah,
that's a number. Some of these boss kills are interesting.
Do you know which ones are which?
I don't. The most common ones are like pretty close to the number of ascensions completed, which makes sense, right? Which are first boss kills. That it's interesting to look at the number of people who create an account and never make it through the entire progression. And I'm curious, we could start snapshotting these a year at a time, right? Like, this data is all still in this table. So we could look and see, all right, does streamlining the bat hole make any difference?
Sure.
Right?
But, I mean, that's the question isn't necessarily...
You don't necessarily think that data is relevant. I was kind of excited about keeping
it's not that I don't think the data is relevant. I think it's hard to mine useful information out of it. Like, I think since we are changing things, yes.
Yeah.
I think that... It's harder to just sort of say this is where people are stopping because there's any kind of number of reasons why people might be stopping.
Sure.
But what was I going to say? People also create accounts like multis that don't necessarily
sure
adventure or whatever. So that's, you got to keep that a little bit in mind too.
Right, but relative to, I'm talking about like people who kill the Goblin King, but don't
go to the Baron.
Finish the Baron quest.
Yeah,
straight,
sure,
like that.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Sure.
So there were total ascensions completed, 116,000, of which like 51,000 were soft core, 62,000 were hardcore, and like 3,000 were casual.
That's pretty interesting to me, that casual is just not nearly as interesting play style.
We don't reward it, so it's kind of not surprising. I feel like it's kind of the domain of stunts.
Is it stunts, or is it just people who just like playing and don't care about, you know, perming things or whatever?
Yeah,
I don't know.
14,700 instances of the Slime Tube opened. 21,000 instances of Hobopolis opened. I'm curious as to how many of those were in the last month.
Yeah.
45,000 people passed the Altar of Literacy.
So out of the, I mean, not that they're necessarily always going to be new accounts, but
right,
out of the,
but 132,000 accounts created, 45,000 Altar of Literacy passings.
So
third people of bother to even try entering chat.
Yep.
A lot of data about what kind of stuff we sell from the trader. Very, very few path runs are done.
Huh.
Like 1% of ascensions are booze to Farian, 1.8% or like 2% or 1.5% are teetotaler, and then 0.5% are oxy.
Huh.
We should track more stuff in here. Nobody else ever really did a pass through this. I wanted to go and add a bunch more stuff that we kept track of, because this is just a purely additive thing.
Right.
What is monster number 784?
What do you mean a purely additive thing? Like, we can always add more things to track?
It's... Oh. That was just a bunch of testing. No, I mean, it's not... Whenever I say, hey, what are some things that we should track in this, people are immediately going to come back with a bunch of ideas that don't work the way that this table works.
Oh, I see.
Right? So this is just a thing where I say, track this, and it just adds one to that column for that day. So that we can look at it over time.
Hmm.
Anyway, back into the breach with July 1 here. Fix a logic mistake that was causing Mr. Alarm to behave in a nonsensical way. There was that weird thing with his thing where it's he was responding to plus combat instead of plus non-combat.
Right.
It was broken for a long, long time.
Was that something that Aileron convinced you to finally do?
It was, I think. Yeah. The Aileron, was he added to dev this year?
Yeah.
Because a lot of these little niggles are probably due to Aileron telling me to fix things and not bothering me about them. Any especially funny jokes are probably because of Pantsless. any wolf shirts, probably because of Xare.
Yeah, that's nothing new, though.
Yeah. let's see. What was July's item of the month? Oh, this yar. I had this thing that I moved. It was the Juju Mask. The Juju Mojo Mask.
Yeah, July.
Yeah. I was pretty happy with that item, as it turned out.
So part of our effort there was to make something that didn't completely deprecate the
Viva La Mask,
but that made...
You could use instead of the tedious parts.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think we were relatively successful. I mean, if you are absolute bleeding edge, you would probably still want to use the V for Viva La Mask for a couple of things, but in general, you're just going to use the Juju Mask. It's very, very friendly, particularly to new players. It's pretty optimal for slot.
Compare and contrast to July.
The Wax
2005.
Lips.
The Wax Lips.
10 pounds of volleyball when we launched it.
Yep.
And now it's just some stats.
Right. Is it 3 stats per fight? Ah, those were the days.
That also got a little bit better.
Yeah, because it would have been 2.5. Yeah. July 11th, Possmaster Guardians can now be summoned on any round of combat, even if you don't get the jump. A super secret bonus related to these Guardians has also been added to the Wrath of the Capsaicin Postalords. Yeah, that was just making that a little friendlier so that maybe people would actually use it.
Right.
I don't know if it was successful.
Yeah. We could track that with some sort of additive flag.
I guess we could. Made it so adding machines didn't count as bosses for the purposes of auto attack. And July 15th, the new Uncle P's item came in, and that was the Castlevania map. Man, that was fun. I liked doing the map artwork because it was all looking like the Castlevania map, and I hated doing the actual art for the stuff because the hand-drawn pixel representations things of pixel art is just
tedious.
It is just like hand crimpy, takes a long time, it's easy to fuck up.
I remember that one guy that submitted a custom avatar form that, like, he had already done the art, and then you're like, I'm gonna have to redo that, and then you spent a long time redoing it, and it looked almost identical.
Yeah.
It was like, dope. Yeah.
You know, it was good, though. It was a good idea.
Yeah.
So it was worth putting the work into. He wanted a River City Ransom guy as his avatar. Okay, right. July 19th. The interface for buying guild skills has been improved, and the skills, the cost have been adjusted to make it a little friendlier to lower-level players and openly hostile to higher-level players. made things slightly more expensive for the higher-end skills that nobody in general cared about.
People complained a little bit, but...
Yeah. But yeah, put all those icons on there. Made it so you could see all the skills before they were available to you, which that was a thing that Stieg Hedlund convinced me would be a good idea, but I hadn't done a particularly good job of it. It didn't look very nice when you went in there. I still really want to completely overhaul the way that you get access to the guild.
Huh.
I want to replace the tasks, and I'm just going to do this because I like ran it by dev, I ran it by the staff, and nobody was like, no, fuck you, don't change it, so I'm just going to do it.
Okay.
I should put that on my big list of things to do.
On your big chart?
Yeah. Because that really is an afternoon's work when I'm procrastinating all the things that I've told myself that I'm supposed to be doing. Because I feel like it's a little weird for a new player now to get to the point where you can actually buy skills, and buying skills is fun. Seeing the things that your class can do is part of the thrill of playing an RPG, you know. Let's see. Fixed a bug where casting a buff with the opera mask on the Mad Hat rack would cause spaceships to start punching each other.
That's such a great update.
I didn't really understand what the fuck Lycra was talking about. I thought she was making a reference to the person who submitted the bug report. I thought they had said something about spaceships punching each other in the bug report.
Yeah.
But that turned out to just be some random shit that she was saying to be funny, and so the update didn't make sense to anyone. I thought it would be funny to write an in-joke to the guy who submitted the bug report in the thing about having fixed it. That was weird, because you'd get... What would it do? It would give you the... Okay, so if you had an opera mask on your hat rack and you cast an accordion thief buff, it would give you the bonus turns from the opera mask and then destroy whatever hat you were wearing.
Yeah.
All right. So that was like a pretty serious...
Yeah, could cause lots of problems.
Yeah.
Could destroy items of the month, for example, which we normally don't let you do.
And then while we were July, we were in I forgot to talk about like what we were context-wise. June, like the ending rollout of the fucking June item of the month was after I was all super jet-lagged in Germany,
holed up
in a hotel room in Freiburg for the first couple days that we were there, trying not to only be awake in the middle of the night. And
try not to catch whatever disease our friend had.
Yeah, finishing space trip. Yeah, and then, so July, we were in lovely, sunny San Diego, and me and MC Frontalot did a short segment on Adam Carolla's Comic-Con podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. I think what that was that that lady who is, like, his booking agent, or whatever she is.
She's not his booking agent. She's just... one of his employees.
I think it shows less that we were a legit thing that actually deserved to be a guest on the podcast in the first place than that she liked us.
She came and found us.
I know.
Okay.
I It could also be that she was like, all right, Comic-Con's a big thing. Who has been on Adam Carolla's podcast is this at Comic-Con, and it turned out it was two people who were too busy to go do it, and us. Because who was supposed to be there? That funny...
Aisha Taylor.
Yeah, Aisha Taylor. I said that funny black girl. You know the one I'm talking about. Whoopi Goldberg.
I do, actually.
No, I know you would have known, based on the context, but...
Yeah. Was it Taylor or Tyler?
I think it's Aisha Tyler.
Tyler.
Yeah.
I really liked, like Archer.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Riff doesn't get it.
Really?
Yeah, Riff didn't like it. He was like, he watched a couple episodes and he was like, waiting for this to get funny.
I'm wow.
Like, wow. There's something wrong with you. You didn't like the Moshe Kasher episode of Stop Podcasting Yourself.
I thought it was okay. I think it's one of those things where you had built up my expectations.
That's probably true.
And like, I was expecting the best thing ever, and it was funny, but it was like not mind-blowingly funny. Although, I guess I did laugh out loud like once or twice, which does not normally happen in a podcast.
Right.
So, yeah, by that metric, yes. It was pretty good.
By the lults. The number of lults produced by the podcast. Comic-Con Choose Your Own Adventure came out, which this was the first Comic-Con Choose Your Own Adventure that I wrote all of. I was pretty proud of that.
You have this grand vision of effectively a comic book Choose Your Own Adventure that mm-hmm. I think would be awesome, but it would require so much work on your part that you'd actually have to, like, do. I think you should do it at some point.
Right.
But it's going to require, you know, probably a week of your time.
Yeah, that's probably true. Unless I just drew all of the individual pieces of it and then handed them to you to construct.
Well, and that's kind of what I figured you would actually end up doing.
So what I'm saying is, like, if I drew a bunch of vertical lines and a bunch of horizontal lines. Yeah.
And you would control them. Yeah. Wow, that'd be a mess.
Yeah. So then...
that would take me, like, three weeks.
Right. We changed Pride and Gluttony to... So this was in the middle of this, like, sort of, like, I was like, you know what? Fuck it, I am fixing all the consumables bullshit. Also, Elrond. Elrond made me fix the, like, weird rounding errors.
Yeah.
I think I managed to do a consumables revamp that probably ended up with people getting more turns per day rather than fewer. Woo!
One thing that you did, though, was tighten ranges, or you have been doing.
And also the graphics on levels 3.
Which I think is something that a lot of people appreciate in general, too, because it's just a lot less swingy.
I kind of want to go through and tighten some of them
some more.
Yeah. I honestly
You're
think...
You're going to need a bigger wrench.
Zara had suggested the notion that... So now they have this quality tier, right? Saying that the range should be no bigger than the quality tier kind of makes sense.
Doesn't it start at 0, though?
No, it starts at 1.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, which that does make a measure of sense. Yeah. Although, I think a range of 3, maybe that does make sense. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. But like, is that even possible to do mathematically if the range is 5?
To have the averages
work out right,
still be integer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on the number that we are shooting for.
I think 4 is harder, right? Like.
It might be. Yeah.
Yeah. I think even numbers are harder to do that with. So they become 3. I mean, it's like 1, 1, 3, 3, 5, 5. I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
We'll see. No, because a range of...
We might end up changing.
4 to 8 has a range of an average of 6.5. No?
6.
Okay. 4 to 9 is where it would get rough, right?
But, yes.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is just... If we don't want to change anything, if we want to preserve
right.
it, that's
sure,
where
yeah.
things get
That's where it gets hard. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Right. It's not that we can't do it. It's just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so a bunch of things that were weird multipliers on food quality got changed to just be like flat additions to it, which made more sense. And what did we also do? Shortly after that, we did Possum and Blender work in the kind of new, extremely visible way, which I'm not... I switched my sign to Blender and to test that, and it's still like that, and it still freaks me out. I'm like, what the fuck is going on every time I drink some booze and I see that extra 5 adventures being added or whatever? It's like,
right.
Crazy.
What is, what was...
Moon Science could probably use
August's item of the month?
August's item of the month was the hipster.
Oh, that was such a good...
Yeah.
thematic.
That was like
idea.
Largely your idea mechanically, I think. The idea of a familiar that would cause you
well,
to
I was
have
all
encounters.
I was all super excited about Scott Pilgrim. I was right. like we need to implement this in the game somehow.
Yep. You and everybody else who didn't actually spend any money on it.
Because I read your copy?
No, it's just it was a sad box office failure.
Oh.
Even though the nerds were excited.
I'll buy the DVD.
Yeah. When, buddy? When?
After Christmas.
All right.
I try not to buy anything for myself, except for apparently games on Steam, like in the month leading up to Christmas, because I feel like that's just a bad plan.
Yeah. My mom says I'm getting socks because I wouldn't tell her anything that I wanted this year. No.
But you need socks.
I need socks. Yeah.
I could use some socks and some underwear.
Getting old. I'm like, yeah, clothes for Christmas. Not a bad idea.
So, did I talk about some of the weird Christmas traditions in Scandinavia?
No. Was there a nativity scene with a dude shitting?
No.
That's some region in the northeastern part of Spain, I guess. Their nativity scenes always include a dude squatting next to a tree with his pants around his ankles and a pile of shit underneath him. Yeah, I heard the first story or the first like few minutes of this story on NPR.
Weird. Yeah. There are several different traditions which involve if you do not receive an article of clothing for Christmas, something bad happens to you. Like, I think in Iceland the Yule cat will eat you. The Yule cat, first of all. And then I think maybe in Norway, somewhere else, or this could be in Prague. I don't. There were like I read a bunch of them and like was getting told a bunch of them all at the same time, so they all kind of blended together. But in another place, some moose will come and shit in your shoe if you do not receive. Like it's not even something you have control over because you don't, you know, unless you're giving yourself gifts.
So it allows you to conspire against someone that you yes. don't like to have their shoes shit in by a moose.
Yes.
Hopefully before they get eaten by the Yule cat, because otherwise...
Right. Well, it depends on where you are.
They'll just have to
I don't
ask
think
God
both things can happen.
Whether or not a moose shat in their shoe right after they died.
Right. Yeah.
Which is probably one of the first things that you would ask if you grew up in that culture.
I need to show you this book about the Icelandic Yule lads, though. It's pretty impressive.
Okay.
Because they're instead of Santa Claus, they have this mean troll called Grilla, and if you're bad, she will take you out of your house, kids. If you're a bad child, she'll take you out of your house, put you in a bag.
We're six to eight black men.
Yeah, and then stick you in a pot and boil you in a stew.
So she's like Baba Yaga Kringle.
And then if you're good, and that doesn't happen, you put your shoe out, and something that one of her sons likes, and on each of the different sort of 13 days leading up to Christmas, a different son will come, one of the Yule lads, and they all like different things. One of them likes to lick spoons, so you take like your dinner spoon, you put it out. One of them likes to lick pots. One of them likes to suckle sheep, so you put the sheep out. Weird traditions. One of them likes to sniff doors, so you put something like that smells good behind your door. One of them likes to slam doors, so you leave your door open.
Huh.
Yeah, it's weird. Weird, weird traditions there. I don't know.
We should start a tradition where each of the 7 nights leading up to Christmas, you do something that enrages Kevin Spacey's character from 7.
Uh-huh.
So the first one, you eat way too much.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the second one, I don't know. I don't remember what the second one
is. You don't remember what order they came in?
Yeah, I don't remember what order they came in. So, contrast the hipster with the pygmy bugbear shaman. That was the first kind of complicated familiar. Because it was the one that ate up mana in order to be both a volleyball and a fairy.
Right.
And if you didn't have the mana to pay him, he
would just be one or the other.
He would be one randomly. Or the other at random. Yeah.
Which was a neat idea.
Yeah, and it established a trope of the only way you can have a volley fairy is if there is some cost associated with it.
Right.
Which we've continued to do in the future. But that was where it went off the rails.
That's where everything started to go downhill.
Yep. continuing on. That... Blender and Possum Change, and then we went on to the Magic Kingdom, the Magic Commune, Uncle P's map.
Hippies.
Which was pretty cool.
Hippies.
Let's see. Then I revamped the Deep Fat Fryer's quest, making that just the series of three straightforward non-combats that you had to get that were forced after a certain point, establishing the sort of a new model, the new way.
Yeah, I like the new way.
I'm ready for the new way.
And the second half of that is ready to be revised.
Yeah, the post-gate, is it, does it need revision?
No, it's just not live, right?
Yeah, it's not arted. Oh, you're saying that the second half of it is ready to be revamped. Yeah. I have not looked at, I have not actually played through it. So I don't know if there's anything that I would make different. Simpler, or I don't know that it's geared to use the quest tracker, so that is
yeah,
the
that
thing
might
that will
be some adjusted.
Yeah. I don't remember, there's three little quests you have to do, and I don't know if they're in order, or what.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anyway.
It's been a while.
Mid-month nerf of the mini hipster.
Yeah?
Yeah. Reduced the number of dudes that will attack the mini hipster in a day, but made the attacks more likely, which, as I recall, did not upset anyone.
Yeah. I think that was just, it wasn't really so much a nerf as sort of a rebalancing.
Yeah. Then later in that month, collapsed all of the non-combats in the Spooky Forest into a big, single choice adventure tree, which I don't think I want to do that everywhere, but it worked pretty well for the forest.
The forest was, I think, the most egregious location for
just having just a ton of crazy
insane
shit
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the early zones have a lot of stuff going on though.
Yeah. Finally put in art for when you got the token in the pyramid.
Also an Elrond thing.
Yep. Then let's see. Beginning of September, Renatus Big showed up and made
really, really angry.
Yeah, and then made me depressed for like a month.
The way that event unfolded, I think, worked just fine.
Yeah. I wish people were less mean.
Yeah, that's a
thing. I'm always going to wish people were less mean. So, The Greatest American Pants came out. And I forget what those were, a navel ring replacement.
Yes.
So we figured out how to make that. We figured out how to narratively justify that thing with air sickness.
Air sickness.
So anytime item gives you free runaways, it's air sickness. And then we've decided that anytime a familiar gives you free runaways, it's by making your butt hurt. So the next one is going to be a time rapist.
The dreaded time rapist.
Yeah. You get pulled out of the time stream and then popped back one adventure earlier and your butt hurts and you don't remember what happened. That's how it works. I don't know how we're going to tune it to Ode to Booze.
It's like
probably just not.
The opposite of being abducted by aliens where you lose time. You actually gain time.
Yeah, you
time.
Gain time, but you get raped in the butthole.
Right.
I now think that
is a probe rape, do you think? Like, it's not something you want in there.
Well, I mean, like Adam Carolla always says, rape is a violent crime, not a sexual crime. It's like any other violent crime that you commit where you come.
okay.
Right. I don't think it's rape. I mean, I don't think it's rape when you get a proctological exam.
Even if you don't want it?
I guess if you don't want it, the doctor does it with his penis and then ejaculates, then maybe it's rape. But I don't think that's a proctological exam anymore. Plus, why would you not want that?
Who knows?
Yeah, so Big's Dig happened, and everybody got real mad.
Yeah, that was weird.
I did not think that it would go away as fast as it did.
The anger? Or the dig?
The dig. I did not think the dig would go away as fast as it did, because I was basing the speed to which I expected it to be cleared out on the
observatory, which did not lock out segments when people tried coordinates.
That's true.
I think that was
the mistake that I made.
Yeah.
Yep. What we could have done is made it so...
And none of us... I mean, we all had the opportunity to say, hey, this is not going to work, and none of us did. So it's not like it's all on you.
Well, some people were like, this is going to be cleared out in 2 hours, and some people were like, nah, it'll probably be a week. And then ended up lasting, what, like 8 hours?
Yeah, it was not long enough for everyone who wanted to see it yep. see it. But we fixed that.
Yeah, we fixed it.
So it was fine.
Yep.
And now he's come back and raped your faces. Although I'm getting ahead of ourselves.
Yep. And then we did the big cooking revamp.
Yeah. So this is part two of your consumables.
So cooking no longer takes a turn except for cooking with fancy ingredients. And there are only a handful of fancy ingredients.
How would you feel about making pretty flowers a fancy ingredient?
I don't know. I'd feel better about just getting rid of PvP.
How would you feel about making pretty flowers a fancy ingredient?
Does that solve whatever ruining the game problem?
It's not that...
I love it when something that I haven't thought about for 5 years suddenly ruins the game.
Nothing ruins the game. It's just that right now you get a lot of benefit for participating in PvP to pick flowers, which you can then turn into what, flower schnapps and sell for meat.
Right.
So no one is going to do that if it takes a turn.
Okay. Yep. So that seems like a reasonable fix to me.
Because I think flowers are also fancy.
Yeah. Also, we should just get rid of that shit. I found my notes on the new PvP revamp.
Oh, good.
Where I came up with a bunch of new skills for every class tab.
Don't talk to me about it and just do it. And then we'll play it.
I just want to tell you, it's fucking awesome.
I'm sure it is.
We'll play it. You'll keep annoyingly abusing edge cases to be a dick. I'll get frustrated
Which
again.
Which is kind of my job. Not in that particular
it's
instance.
It's not your job to be such a smug fucker about it. It is your job to point out that those things exist, but when I say, okay, now, that's something we need to fix, let's try it some other way, and then you do the exact same thing again, because you're a smug fucker.
I did something else.
So then the eau de booze and milk changed, and to consume turns the effect, which we had established with the Inigo's thing. Are you breaking my skull?
No, I'm pulling a piece of it out.
Pulling little nose bones out of it?
Yeah.
Man, how would you like it if I reached in and pulled your septum out? Yeah, that is gross.
Wow.
There's this like ram's skull that I bought down the street at a yard sale that Hot Stuff is pulling all of the little interior nose bones out of. Just to be destructive. Just to fuck my stuff up. God. Did you cut yourself on a bone?
No, the giant heavy adapter to the microphone fell and just tried to yank my ear off.
Everybody got mad about the sushi mats. I think they don't care anymore. A bunch of people rage quit. Okay, so then August's, what did we say the item of the month was? It was the greatest American
grandpa.
Pants. Yeah, I'm not calling those grandpa. That's not funny.
It's kind of funny. It's because it's both Gap and Grandpa at the same time. Grandpa Gap.
Oh, I didn't get that it was G-R-A-M-P-A.
That's why it's Grandpa.
Okay, I get it.
Okay.
That's funnier.
Yeah.
That's better.
Right.
And
so that instead of the Jekyll and
Hyde. Or also, Griammy Pan.
Yes.
Or Grey Tamer Pan.
Versus the Jekyll and Hyde belt, which was the 2005 thing, which was not super complicated, but it was
You don't have to do anything with it, right? You just put it on, and it's a different thing from day to day, and whatever.
Yep.
I don't remember when we
Still optimal in certain cases.
Is it?
Yeah.
Crazy. It's best in slot for some purpose
at certain
time.
That's the nice thing about varying things along moon signs, is that you get these interesting kind of cases of temporal...
Right, like with all the crazy Grimacite shits.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So then September rolled around.
Yep.
And we had the organ grinder. No, wait, that was October. September was the greatest American pants. What am I talking about?
Yeah, you skipped.
I didn't do that.
What did you do for August? What was August's?
August was a hipster.
Ah, right.
So we did that. Okay. So then in September also we reopened the dig.
Yep.
Stainless steel, plexiglass, and brimstone outfits after years.
Finally.
Again, dramatically reducing the number of questions sent to Radio Bugbear.
Although, there was a confusion about the effects from the candies.
Yeah,
something.
I don't know if that ever got fixed, or if it even, if it needs attention. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
spend a lot of time arguing about it and then getting yelled at by Mr. Skullhead for spending a lot of time arguing about it.
Yeah.
I updated the radio archive, apparently merited an announcement.
Huh. I guess it was out of date.
And then what was I doing in September? There was like not a lot going on. Oh, I was working on the revamp tutorial, and then it rolled out at the beginning of October.
Right, so that's something that a lot of people wouldn't necessarily even see.
Yeah. But that's what I was doing in September, was working that shit out. The new tutorial. So then October rolled around, we put it in the organ grinder.
Oh, and also that's KOLCon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And DragonCon. So we had a bunch of convention stuff to do. So there's a bunch of things going on. September's always a weird month.
We had the
KOLCon, we did something unusual and different.
We sold a familiar.
Yeah. Which did really well, and like, you know, we had a fair bit of complaining about it, but I think people are overall pretty happy with it.
Yeah, I think nobody's upset. I think how much are those things cost in the mall now?
That's a good question.
Was there any doom or any gloom? I always get nervous when the screensaver kicks in that this is not actually recording.
Yes, totally me too.
Let's see. All right. I still need to add the mall to the... I still need to add a configurable mall link to the top.
Yes, you top do. Menu.
Hippo 2-2. So those are pretty expensive, but not...
Yeah, well over two Mr. A's.
Yeah.
So...
But, you know, they'll be for sale again at the next con, in addition to the new tome.
Yeah, not for two Mr. A's. Not for
they'll be
bucks.
They're for three Mr. A's, right?
Yeah, so. The new tome?
I think my
mom,
yeah.
Nice.
I don't know if it's going to be a tome or not. That's a funny joke, though.
Yeah.
My mom is going to feel like it's weird. If this thing is old, why are you selling it for more money, son, instead of less? Why isn't it on sale, son?
Because that's the way the internet works. Things that are old are more valuable.
Fuck.
What?
Nightmare just texted me. Barbara Billingsley died. So that's one more person that's not going to be around after the apocalypse.
Wow. That sucks.
I had no idea that she was still alive. I would have assumed that she was dead a long time ago. Except she's a woman. Every time there's a woman... Every time there's a woman, she's way older than you think before she dies.
She's just way older than you think, period.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I would not be surprised if you told me that Hugh Beaumont had been dead for 30 years.
What about Boo Beaumont?
Right, and Harbra Hillingsley.
Yeah. All right, October. So, item of the month.
Yeah, I remember when Nightmare was here, coming up with that item of the month at a Mexican restaurant.
I thought we came up with it in the car on the way to the Mexican restaurant.
No, I don't know. We were talking about the very oldest clan dungeon ideas that we had was like some sort of skill that let you like sniff a monster's essence out.
Yeah.
And then writing a bunch of different, you know, like 20 or 30 different like essences that were generically distributed to monsters, and then have there be one in the dungeon whose essence you needed to get into, like, another dungeon.
Right.
Right, just as a gating mechanism for that. Like, you had to beat the dungeon once to get the skill, and then you had to go back into the dungeon and sniff the thing every time you wanted to go into the new one. Like, when... See, we were taking all of our cues from World of Warcraft, and that was before they got rid of all their attunements.
That's true.
So
the organ grinder's relatively sort of involved... thing that
it was not actually that hard. It required a lot of writing, had
but
a lot of items.
From a player's point of view, I mean, there's things going on.
Yeah.
And that's all versus the Doppel Shifter, which...
The Doppel Shifter was just for fun.
Yeah. Purely unoptimal.
Yeah. This was a hard year for items of the month. Every item of the month this year was a lot of work.
They were all clever, though.
I guess.
On the... 1st of October, I was up at like 4 in the goddamn morning trying to reserve hotel rooms and for next year's Dragon Con.
Right. And already failing.
Awful.
Even though you were 1 minute late.
I wasn't late at all this year. I was on that at the moment it was available. Fucking ridiculous. What else happened in October?
New tutorial?
Yep.
Which was pretty cool. New top menu.
Yep.
Got rid of the sewer.
Yeah, yep. The sewer in town.
Yeah.
Not the one in Hobopolis.
Got rid of the Hobopolis sewer.
Yeah.
It's It's weird. What you're seeing now is just an illusion. Yeah, and then this started this whole bunch of revamp things using the little quest tracker thing that I added with the tutorial. The Pretentious Artist got redid, the Captain of the Gore, all of this was all over like a week, making a bunch of little animations.
Yep.
I still have Harold to put out in the plains.
People have seen him already.
Once, yeah. It leaked
you,
for a minute.
You rolled out, then you rolled him back in?
Yep. Fixed a bug that was making the Hermitage fail to show up under certain sexy circumstances. I don't remember what that was all about.
I don't
remember. Redid the typical tavern. October was fucking busy.
You worked like a madman. A man possessed.
A madman possessed?
A madman possessed.
I worked like an Iceman cometh.
Yes.
I worked like a Hayman nice shot.
Yep.
I worked like a good eye sniper. I worked like a Coheed Cambria.
Uh-huh.
Do you suppose that they'll ever do a prequel to it? Because they're like Coheed and Cambria are like big into that whole like concept album prog rock thing. Do you think that they'll ever do a prequel album as pre-Coheed and pre-Cambria?
I don't think so. Although, you should pitch that idea to them.
I should. So new cellar, new tavern, which had been in the works for a really long time. Like it
was
October was not
things.
So much like doing a bunch of shit as like a culmination of a bunch of shit that I decided to do. And now this period of time is me figuring out what to do for the next phase of that, like figuring out what the fuck to do with the knob. That was like the story of puberty for me, was figuring out what the fuck to do with the knob.
Bland job, hand job, you don't understand job.
Yeah, could do the male version of Garfunkel and Oates singing a song about not knowing how to masturbate.
Yeah.
Except that would just never happen.
I don't think, yeah. I'm sure there's some discovery process that's slightly different for everybody, but you figure it out pretty quick.
I don't really want to talk about this.
On the radio? Come on. Does your mom listen to the show?
Oh, probably.
Nice. Hi, Mom.
You refer to my mom as Mom?
Yeah, aren't we...
That's weird.
Aren't we brothers?
I guess, but aren't you also sleeping with her?
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it sexy, right?
Okay, yeah. Like, who's your daddy?
Yeah.
Except it's, who's my mommy?
Exactly.
Wow, that's awful. That's even creepier.
Yeah. I've been making some incest jokes lately, and nobody thinks they're funny.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nobody thinks incest jokes are funny.
Apparently not.
There was an incest joke on Stop Podcasting Yourself that I was listening to today.
Yeah.
They're asking if there'd ever been a filmed sex scene between Jake Gyllenhaal and Maggie Gyllenhaal, and whether that would be creepy, or whether it would be an opportunity for them to really prove, you know, like, are you actors or are you actors? You know, like. So then Dungeon Full of Dungeons moved out into the Hall of Legends. Need to get to that eventually too.
Yeah, Dungeon
An actual quest to open it, which. I still want something akin to the Adventurer Signal that we can use to tell you...
That new dungeon's open?
No, when there's other stuff. Like, non-essential quests. To tell you, like, a clearinghouse for notifying the player.
A job board.
A job board. But where does that go?
Where do you want it visible from?
That's a good question. I mean... Yeah.
I think I will spend some time, probably in January, coming up with a way to see the Adventurer Signal from the main map.
Okay.
So maybe I can come up with something else that's indicative of another thing going on, and we can like do it at that scale and also in town.
Right. You know, we could also start sending K-mails.
Yeah, we could.
We can, you know, because we can do bogus K-mails now,
sure.
Right? So that's a feature that C.D. Moyer added that was trivial to do. I mean, they get deleted, right? I mean,
you're
not going to...
Yeah.
You definitely see new message received from Dungeoneers Association.
Yeah.
And the K-mail can have the zone unlock notification in it or whatever. Yeah, I like that idea. You can get a K-mail from your guild.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
From a particular NPC in your guild?
Yeah, from the leader of the guild.
Sure.
Hey, we heard you're a new What's-It in town.
A new What's-It?
Yeah.
Isn't that a candy bar?
We also need to do the thing where it notifies you of new mail. I had you make me an icon for it.
Oh, yeah,
I like
that.
For the top menu. Yeah. I think we can
Mail.
I think we can fake it. So then the mall moved to Bordertown. Bordertown moved to Bordertown. We made the bounty hunter a little friendlier. I'm getting closer and closer to letting people do 3 bounties a day.
Just period.
Yeah.
Wow.
The more that I play Twilight Heroes, the more that I'm like, you know, I'm gonna be getting pretty fucking sick of this by the time I get the thing that I want.
Wow, that's kind of a major change.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're not just gonna let people acquire them and do them all after a run or something?
That seems harder. You know what this is another thing where I kind of like this idea of letting you get like ultra bounties that built up over time. But then Mr. Scullet was mad at me. He was like, I don't know why you want to do all this work just to deal with these complainers.
Huh.
Right. I don't know if that actually convinced me that it was a bad idea. But
We could put even a higher cost things in there. Just to make everybody happy.
Yeah.
Huh. Because I know Armac definitely wants things that cost a lot more in there, because he's almost got another 200 ready to spend.
Cool.
After having bought everything.
Neat.
Yeah.
Twilight Heroes has a lot of consumables in there. Like, a lot of them. Just kind of interesting consumables.
Something I would definitely get behind is giving you 3 syringes or whatever instead of just 1.
Yeah.
Because I had always kind of assumed that those would help you get more bounties or whatever, you know. And they just make no sense to use now.
Making them tradable would also.
That was the other thing. Yeah.
Right. So one or the other.
Both.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I like the idea of the big bounties, because I like the idea of coming up with those.
Yeah.
Right, that give you multiple. But also, you know, coming up with a bunch of those maybe that give you 5 lucre or something that take, you know, more turns or are just really hard or whatever.
What's our time looking like?
We got like... We should probably wrap up in like 5 or 10 more minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I need to catch my plane.
Yeah, October. So that was October. We started doing the skeleton shit, moving town around. Decided to, then since people wanted Biggs Dig to be a big deal, like, all right, we'll just use that as an excuse to revamp Seaside Town. Been meaning to do that. Did the desert bus in the beginning of November, explicit de-leveling messages, which was another layer of obfuscation removed.
What was the last map? The last Uncle P's map?
The genes, the minor
thing.
Ellsbury's claim.
Okay. And so then I think that was, what, September?
Was it?
I think so. And you said we're going to take a couple months off?
Yeah, for con.
So I think we're going to do more...
I didn't announce that one, apparently.
Or maybe we've been off by a month this whole time.
Yeah, maybe we have been off by a month. I'm going to try to do more of those.
Starting back in January, maybe?
I don't think I put it in January, did I? I put it in January with a question mark by it.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of shit to do in
January.
Did
you actually make the spreadsheet?
I didn't.
Okay. So then what was the item of the month for November?
Item of the month for November was... It was this last one. It was the pumpkin patch.
Okay.
Which was big and complicated. Not hard to do. Not hard to use.
True.
Has some variety. You know...
Has a decidedly unoptimal piece of equipment.
So it was simple, flavorful, and also 100% power creep.
Sure.
That's the thing. If we want to do something simple, it has to be something on a completely undeveloped vector.
Yeah. Or totally underwhelming.
Right. Let's see. The Quantum Taco came out in the trader at some point there. Contrast Pumpkin Patch with 2005's Minuscule Temporal Rip. So
that's dropping the database.
Yeah.
That's the item after the database.
Good
disappeared.
Old November 2005.
That has been over 5 years.
Yeah.
Wow. I still think, had I been more involved in the project at that point, I would have just flown to Texas to try to physically get our hard drives.
They weren't ours, though.
But I think if I was in the building...
I think if we had been there in person, we probably could have...
Gotten the data off.
Maybe.
Because that's all we needed. Like, it was not...
It wasn't all we needed. We weren't sure that it would work.
But
It was like trying to recover, and we would have been able to get it to data recovery.
Hundreds and hundreds of hours of labor went into fixing things.
But I think it would have taken weeks to recover the data.
Maybe. Oh, God. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, what a horrible thing.
That's so awful.
Now we have, like, hourly backups.
Yes.
It's fucking sweet.
I can't even imagine, man.
We did the bus pass, making it so you don't need to use the car anymore.
Right. You can still use the car.
You don't need to, that's what I said.
Yeah.
We put the HeBoulder iRays on timers that we can use for other things, and did with, with the pumpkin.
Yep. Which is a mechanic that I would consider using for other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that we should, at some point in the not-too-distant future, implement a player-configurable timer.
Yeah, sure. So I think just so I think adding an optional turns this run counter and then giving you just a slash timer command that works in some way.
Yeah. Or a couple of timers or something.
Mr. Alarm will now show you how to get to Whitey's Grove if you don't already know. That made it so you basically never have to go to the guild to finish the game. That was the last thing that required
any kind of
guild usage to beat the game, I think. Unless you need like an item from the cemetery or the funhouse to kill a tower monster.
Hmm.
Those things are all going to need to be addressed.
You can just kill tower monsters outright now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yep. Added the adventurer signal. Rejiggered the battle. Really did tighten up the graphics on level 3.
You did. Yep.
That's level 4. We tightened up the graphics on level 4.
You also tightened up the graphics on level 3.
Yeah, I did. And then Crimbo started.
So we had, what was December's item of the month?
The Robot Reindeer.
And what was 2005's?
The Nutcracker.
What was the, oh yeah, the Temporal Rip. Yeah, God.
The Nutcracker gives you buffs.
Yep. So that was new and different.
Yep. And totally underwhelming.
And the Riftlet was...
No, wait, it's the troll that everybody complains about, the Nutcracker. I think the Nutcracker, you didn't have enough control over it to...
make it a thing.
Yep.
And Crimbo has been a lot of stuff. There's been a lot of different things going on.
Yeah.
Did we see how many Hobopolises had been opened in December?
No.
I don't know if that's an easy thing. You could actually just look at the chart, though.
I could, but I couldn't count them. What I can do is I can...
We can just describe the shape of the graph.
What is today's rollover number?
16.
No. Today's rollover number is 2873. And what is it, the 23rd of December?
Does that
right
mean
now?
That the game has been up for 2,873
days? Approximately. Because when I started using that counter, I don't know how long the game had been around, so I think I just picked some random date around the time I thought it started.
I see. Interesting.
It's weird that I don't know when I launched it. There's like, we started keeping these really meticulous records. I know me. I know I'm the kind of guy who hates fucking throwing information away. It's that I had no idea it was going to be important. It frustrates me.
Huh.
Frustrates me.
It's arguable whether or not it's important.
Sure. Okay, so greater than 2850 is what I want to check. Hobopolis instances opened 13,576 in this month. That's Jeez. Cool. That's more than I thought.
That's a lot.
600 of the slime tube. That's actually nice that people are still
sliming,
messing with that.
That's awesome. Well, all right then.
Yep. Approximately the same number of kills of... 13,000 copies of Hobopolis opened. 13,000 copies of Uncle Hobo killed. Like 500 copies of Old Scratch. So most people are opening
wow.
it. Opening
just
it,
for that.
Elf Alley, closing it, opening it, Elf Alley, closing it, which is great.
Yeah.
Our initial plan was to make it so you had to clear Town Square to get to Elf Alley, and I think people are happy that we did not do that.
I think that was a good decision.
I think me changing my mind to at be a real sweetheart to the player base at the last minute was the right thing to do. So yeah, guys, that was 2010. I hope you had
High
as
five.
Much fun as we did.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. I gotta stitch this shit together and make a radio
Have
show.
Have a great